Good to see everyone this morning. How y'all doing this morning? Good. How many thank God for His Word? How many know that's important to us? The Word of God is of great value, and it's important that we spend time in the Word of God. If we are spending time in the Scripture, we'll learn more about who God is. I hope that last Sunday that you left from here knowing more about who God is. And we want to know Him. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't know. How many understand that? Very difficult. Somebody asks you, by the way, it's my anniversary today. Happy anniversary, Charlotte. You want to say something?
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. 29 years today. Isn't that great? So we've been at it for a while. So we've been also here at the church that long. So it's been answered the call. As a matter of fact, the same month, right after we were married, answered the call to ministry. So we've been in the ministry a while, and made a commitment to the Lord. That we would be faithful to each other and to whatever God called us to do. And He didn't just call me, He called my wife, and we've been faithful to that calling. There have been a lot of times we wanted to just pack up and go somewhere else. But you just can't do that. You got to stay true to God. Amen? My wife's all excited because we... going on a trip today, and I hope she's here. You still here? I think she done left without me. I think that's what's happened. But we've been talking about God's glory. Now, I want to just, again, reiterate to you and explain to you about God's glory. He said, "My glory I'll not give to another." There's nobody that you could compare to God. Now, I want to say this. I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ. I love the Lord Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my soon coming King. But He never, ever would take the place of the Father. He never would. If you tried to convince Jesus to take the place of the Father, He wouldn't. He would never do it. What is Jesus going to do? He's going to give all glory and honor to the Father. Now, if our Savior, our soon coming King, our hero, our champion, if that's what He's doing, shouldn't we be doing that? Shouldn't we be giving God all the glory? So you got to understand that Paul said it this way. He said, "They're Lord's many and they're God's many, but to us, there's one God." One God. And that's important. It's important that we understand that value and grab hold to that principle. How many gods did Jesus have? Let me ask you this way. Did Jesus have a God? Well, absolutely He did. He said it, I think it's 4 or 5 times in one verse, "My God, my God." On the cross He said, "My God, my God." He's got a God. And that's the God that we serve. The same God Jesus serves. Do you see there's a distinction there? And so when we're talking about God's glory, His glory He won't give to another. How many know that Jesus was not a mere man? Some folks try to make Jesus a mere man. Was he a man? Yes, He was. He's always considered throughout Scripture the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, right? So He's also considered the Son of Man and the Son of God. Can we find any Scripture that says God's a man? How many of you know it says in the Word, God's not a man? That's a distinction. How many of you understand there's a distinction between who we are and who God is? God's not a man. Man is finite. How many understand that? We're material. We're material human beings, and we start and end. Do you know God doesn't have a start? How incredible that is. And he definitely don't end. And that's what's so amazing about God. So if I ask this question, who's before God? What's before God? So do you understand what we're drawing from when we're talking about giving God glory? When we talk about giving God praise, we can't pass God up and find something better and bigger and more awesome and more incredible to give praise to. We get to God, it's it. There's nothing past God. How many know what it means when he says he's eternal? God always existed. Did God exist before planet Earth? Well, yeah, he's the one that made it. And then did he exist before human beings? Well, he took the soil. He took the dust, the dirt, and he formed man in his own image, in his own likeness. How incredible that is. So should we sing, when we sing, shouldn't we keep those things in mind? When somebody says you're a Christian, it's not just that we're followers of Christ, but we're followers of the one Christ follows. Uh-oh. You want to see, we want to hit another level because in the world, there are many Christ. Didn't he say that? There'll be many who come in my name, speak in my name. Many Christ. How many know there's false Christ? So somebody said, well, you believe in Christ? Well, there are many Christs. Many claim to be the anointed. But in God's view, there's one anointed. That's the Messiah, the long-awaited one. Jesus is not just a mere man. He's a unique man. Jesus was the first human to ever be born by the power of the Holy Spirit in a womb of a virgin without the assistance of a man. Isn't that incredible? So we want to see those distinctions. When you're serving God and living for the Lord and the enemy comes against you, Brother Josh mentioned this, that's going to happen. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to go through trials. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we got somebody who we follow, and his name is Christ Jesus, the one we're following. He overcome the world. And he did everything without sin. Not one ounce of sin was in him because the sting of death is sin. That's why death couldn't hold Jesus. Death couldn't hold him. Did Jesus have to raise from the dead? Absolutely, because death couldn't hold him. The sting of death is sin. That's what brings about death, sin. If you don't have sin, then how can you die or death hold you? So what did he do? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let him go through death for you, but he will not see decay. That's what God promised. I'm not going to leave him in the grave. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you ahead of time. I'm going to let him go to the grave, but I'm getting him out of there in 3 days. Isn't that incredible? So when we look at the Bible and we start reading Scripture, how many have ever come across a hard text where you come across something and you don't understand it? Something that is difficult to understand. Well, what you have to do in order to understand, just leave it alone. Don't pick the whole Bible up for one verse. Just leave that verse alone and keep reading other places. And as you read, what happens to the verse that's hard to understand? It starts to have light shed on it. Before you know it, you start understanding it. It's just like last year. We think about last year. There's been a lot of things that we went through scripturally. Scripturally, we covered a lot of stuff last year. And we learned some things. And there were some things we didn't know that we didn't understand. But as the year went on, we started understanding them even more. And we gradually started to come hold to understanding the Scripture. And that's important. It's valuable that we understand that. And so we want to continue to do that. So I want you to remember this. God's glory, he said, I'll not give to another. Jesus' glory is a given glory. His glory, he didn't just have his glory. God gave Jesus his glory. And it's great glory. Let me tell you how good God's glory is that he had given to Jesus. When Jesus comes in his glory, he will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. Just with his return. That, to me, that's awesome glory. But listen, there's a distinction between that glory and God's glory. That is absolutely incredible. That's why, should God get all the glory? Should he get all the honor? Should God get all the praise? Yes, he should. So, remember we've been talking about Jesus as our Savior. Could Jesus be our Savior? Would that be all right to say he's our Savior? But listen, what if I said God's our Savior? Am I talking about the same person? No, I'm talking about two distinct persons, but we have one who's the ultimate Savior, whose everything from under him is handed down or litigated. Does that make sense to everybody? And so not only that, we have to understand that God is the one who planned it all. And that's what we dealt with last week. God's plan. How many thank him for his plan and how he planned it all out? Well, let me just talk to you a little bit about God's plan. God's plan is not something that he has to adjust when a situation comes up. Why? Because God knew the situation would come up in the plan. And he already remedied the fix, whatever needed to happen, in the plan already. You think God was shocked that they crucified his only son? God wasn't shocked. According to God, he knew it before the foundations of the world. They crucified him. Forever a man was in the garden, and a woman in the garden to sin for the first time. God already knew they'd crucify the Savior. I know sometimes that's hard to get our mind wrapped around that, because what we live in is we live in what we can understand. And sometimes our understanding, we limit our own capabilities. And we don't let ourselves go into the Scripture and really begin to explore how incredible God is. And let me tell you, the more you know about God, the more you understand about who you are. Listen, you're absolutely incredible human beings. We're sitting in this building, all of us. You know how we judge ourselves? By the best. We look at the person that's got the most money, got the best looks, got the biggest house, the nicest car, the biggest boat, the prettiest wife, the handsome husband. And we go and look at all these things out there and we say, well, I ain't got that. And we judge ourselves by what people, the most. Would you understand? That's absolutely ridiculous. Yes, it is. You're unique in God's own eyes. Yes. You're special to God. Yes. You're amazing. You're made in his image and likeness. You don't judge yourself by whoever else got what they got. Listen, they can have all that stuff and they can die tomorrow. And if you die, you're both dead. Right. That's equal. I mean, understand that. When death hits you, it's equal. I don't care who's at your funeral or how much you spent on it. You can have a guy that don't have anybody to put him in a sack and throw him out in the field somewhere. Or you can have this guy that they can have his funeral for a week and thousands show up. Guess what? At the end of the day, they're both dead. It's all equal. But listen, we don't need to judge ourselves that way. You know how you need to see yourself? You're amazing to God. You're made in his image and likeness. He loves you and cares about you. And if God wanted you to have all that stuff, you better believe it, you would have it. So be okay with where you are. How many know God planned out our history? I'm glad I grew up on the Tiger Pass. Do you understand that? That's all, I'm okay with that. Folks are still mad about where they grew up. Some folks mad who their mama is. Some folks mad about their daddy. They mad about the family. Don't come around my family. My family crazy. Hey, listen, you got to be okay with where you are. You got to understand that if it wouldn't have been for God, we wouldn't even be. So before you got a mind, so you can have an attitude, it was God that gave all that to you. So we have to be thankful. And sometimes we get a little beside ourselves about what we don't like because we judge ourselves by the one who has the most. If we'll just stop and say, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to give God praise and glory for who we are, what we have right now. And everything, give thanks. For that's the will of who? That's the will of who? God in Christ Jesus concerning you and I. In everything, give thanks. For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. You think I understand everything I've ever been through? No. You probably won't understand it. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that God's confused. Doesn't mean that God doesn't know what he's doing. You ever thought of it this way? Why don't we say, God, I don't understand it, but obviously you do. And I'm not going to say anything against your will and your plan for my life. I'm just going to thank you for everything that's going on. And I'm going to trust you that you're going to work out everything according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so when we look at it, let me tell you, there's a calm that'll come over you. How many of you know this 2015, what we said at the beginning, what was going to happen would be a year of what? Rest. How many's had your rest challenged? Yeah, you know, you get challenged. Your rest gets challenged. You know, there's some folks who give you unrest when they walk in the room. They just, whoa, okay, how are we going to do this, Lord? And you start asking, okay, I don't know, God. And, you know, you just got to hear that lullaby that God is saying, okay, it's all right. And start thinking about it. You know what? It really doesn't matter for me to get all worked up. Because after I'm worked up, I don't know what difference it's going to make. Because who can change anything? He said, who can add an inch to his stature? How are you going to change that? Well, if we'll just let the peace of God that passeth all understanding come, that works in us a far more exceeding way to glory. Sometimes we want what we want now because we see it. But what you're really working for right now, what we really should be laboring for is the kingdom of God. It's not right now, but what's to come. Now, if I told you this, I can show you in the scripture that every single person here, you know, there are so many people getting rich today off of diets or pills. You know, you can buy these pills and make you stronger, makes you smarter, makes you everything you want to be. Just take it with water. And they'll sell millions, millions and millions and millions of dollars in that industry. You get, and then when that one's all worn out and everybody's bought them all, they'll come up with another name and say, this is the one. I mean, you just take it, in 5 days, you're gonna be slim. You're going to look like, then they put somebody, some famous person on there going, you know. And so it's something that's an appetite that they know people has. It's unsatisfied with who we are. We all want to be like the best. And there's a way we can get you to be there if you just buy this for $29.95. All right? Everybody following this? All right? That's just the way it is. And it's constant like that. What if I told you this? I'm going to give you something that's free. And I'm going to tell you that there's a product in the Word of God that guarantees you to never die. If I could sell it in a bottle, how many of you think if we could go on television and say we got a product, a bottle, you take these and you guarantee you never die? You think folks would be lining up? Let me tell you, they'd line up. And it doesn't matter what you would charge for the rich, they'd pay whatever it was if they knew it was a guarantee. Because what people's really after is how we can have immortality. How can we not expire, not get old and hurt and tired and all those things? We just want to stop it and not have that happen. Well, you know, the Word of God is clear on how whoever it is, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Wow. Everlasting life. And so when people say, well, yeah, that's all great, that's nice, but you can't get that unless you die. No, no, you don't get the point. I'm telling you, you won't die. And so what we do, we have been trained in our mind to love this life better than the one that's going to last a lot longer. This one don't last long. At most, you know, just say all of you in here is going to get 100 years. Let's just say that. Every person in here is going to live to 100. Let's just do 110. 110. Think about your life, your, you know, what would you, 110. Can you think that far out? Can you imagine that? I was sitting in the barber chair the other day, and the guy was cutting my hair, and he was talking about where we were going, and he says, man, your hair is staying black. It's staying black. And I said, well, you know why it's staying black? I said, I kind of put that stuff in my hair. Before I come over here, he said, yeah, all right. He said, I'm a barber. You can't pull that on me. He said, I know you ain't put nothing in there. I said, yeah, but that's an ongoing joke that we have at church. I said, I told it to one guy. He come back, had his hair dyed. he thought I was telling the truth. He'll know who that is when he hears this. So anyway, he said, well, you got a problem. I said, what's that? And he's leaning over, and I'm looking at him in the mirror. He said, you got one right there. It's right there. I looked up at him and said, cut it out. You get rid of that. We don't want that around. That's trouble. But we're always trying to improve. We're trying to stop what's reality. But here's the thing about God. Think about God. He promised us everlasting life. We spend more time trying to fix what we only got a short period of time to fix, and we spend hardly any time for eternity. For eternity. Now watch this. We're not talking about eternity in our condition, in our surroundings. I mean, we got good days and we got bad days. There's been times that we had plenty, then there was times that we were in want, seriously in want. There's been times that we felt good. I mean, we got up, we had just a skip in our step. We were feeling good, and there were days that it just didn't work all the way. Anybody can relate to this? Huh? I mean, you're feeling this aching, and you go, man, what's going on? We're getting older and all that, and you feel that. I'm not talking about trying to cope with this. We're talking about eternal life with no pain. You ready for this? No sorrows. Let me tell you, sorrows are hard. And you know, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of sorrow. I'm involved in people when they're in sorrow. And you have, it just hurts. I mean, it's an ache that you can't hug it. It's just, it hurts. There'll be no more of that. No more tears.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting this? No sickness. No more death. Money is a non-issue in the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? You have to go around saying, well, he's got some and he's got... You don't see none of that in the kingdom of God. When you look across, we're just all there. We're all there and enjoying the glory and the wonders of God and his presence and Jesus as our King of kings, Lord of lords. How many think about that often? I think about it often. Because that's where we're going. Some gonna have to wait for the resurrection. So let's talk about it right now. Those who have died already, they have to wait for the resurrection. What they did and didn't do in their life, up to that point of their death, they still have to wait to see. But here we are. We're still here. We're still very much alive. And what we do with our whole approach about who God is will determine where we spend eternity. And I can tell you, there's no mistake that God has already selected for you. He said, I would that none perish, but all come to know him. But the enemy is out there. How many know there's an enemy? He comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. So what he does, he tries to get people who are already on the right track. Because deep down inside, you know how many people I've met that deep down inside, they love God? They really do. But the enemy sidetracked them somewhere and he's got them believing something different. But deep down inside, if you can pull away the fight from the enemy and separate all their hardship from them, and you sat down with them, they'd weep and honor God no different than you honor him. So what we have to do? Our job is to preach the gospel. Share the good news. Constantly share the good news with people that you see hurting, people that are going through it. Share the wonderful, incredible good news of God. It's absolutely what God wants us to do. And it's important that we do that. So I hope that you understand why we have to go over these things over and over again, because it's important that we understand about God's glory. And now when the Lord dealt with me about that, it took me years to finally come to understand what he meant by when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And there's no doubt about it. There's an instant life change that happens when you look into the glory of God and begin to try to wrap your mind around who he is. Amen? Well, let's look at a couple verses here. I wanted to just share that with you and be an encouragement to you. All of you are incredible, absolutely unique, and God is absolutely incredible. We'll cover a couple things on review. Go to slide 36. Slide 36. All right, the plan of God, that's where we started looking at this last week, the plan of God. And I read this verse, a couple verses. Let me just read this verse here just to kind of catch us back up. In Isaiah 14, 26 to 27, this is the plan. This is the plan devised against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations for the Lord of hosts. Has planned. Who's done the planning? The Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? It's absolutely incredible verse. So what God has planned and his hand is stretched forth to do, it's no one can frustrate. The devil can't stop it. I can't stop it. No one can stop the hand of God. It can't be turned back what God has purposed and planned to do. And so we covered some of this stuff. Number one, God's plan, that's 41. God's plan was formed before the creation. Before the creation, God's plan was formed. Number two, God's plan is everlasting. God's plan is everlasting. And so these are important principles. And the third thing we looked at, God's plan is unchangeable. God's plan is unchangeable. And so noticing these things and looking at them, I believe, is a value that you and I understand these wonderful, incredible things that God has for us. Today I want to look at something. I'm just going to give a couple verses, and then I'm going to cover some of these foundational scripture. It says God's plan includes all events in history. All the events in here. Slide 64. Just go to 64 instead. You have to go through every one of them to get this. You can show him, sister, to click on it. God's plan includes all things. Now, I want you to think about this. God's plan includes all things, not some things. God's plan includes all things. Now, how many understand what history is? How many know what history is? Is that event that's to come? What? It's something that's already happened. It's history. That's history. It's already happened. Now, if we look back in history, there's some things that we could learn from history. We learn those things from history as markers, indicators, warnings, that if we see that exact thing coming again, we know that from history, this is what they did, this was their results. If we take that, then maybe we could do something different. So we know that everything that's happened in history, that was in the plan of God. God already knew that would happen. But here's the thing that we have to understand. What's going to happen forward in front of us, God also knows those things. That's part of his glory. That's part of how incredible he is. He knows about your today. He knows about the next 5 minutes. He knows about the next 10 minutes, the next hour. He knows about your tomorrows. Next week, next month. Do you understand that? To me, that's comforting. Yeah. To know that the one that desires to spend time with me, even though I'm a sinner, saved by grace through what Christ did for me, he became that the redeemer for me. God brought me back to him through Christ Jesus. He wants to spend time with me, and that's the one who knows tomorrow for me. And the next day and next week, he knows that for me. Don't you want to love him? Don't you want to, if somebody tell you, hey, come over here. They got some guy over here. He's predicting the future. He can tell you about stuff that happened yesterday and tell you about what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, you know, folks get a hold of that. They line up for stuff like that. They will. I've seen it happen. The different gifts that God has given people, and they'll use those gifts, and people will line up to have somebody tell them something about, it just pumps people up. They get all excited. And the whole time, what my message is, you know what? Well, if you want somebody to do that for you, I know somebody's name, Yahweh, God. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. But to see to people, he's not a tangible where we can reach out and grab him. So if somebody else on our same plane, same level, going to die just like me, comes and say it, for some reason, he heard what he said, and that excites me. But what we lose is our excitement for the Most High. Will God share that? Is God going to say, oh, well, that's fine, you can have more excitement for this or that, but not for me? I don't think he will, because then he'd be given his glory. His glory said, I'll not give to another. How many understand that? Very important. So I want you to think about this. God's plan includes all things, not some things. God's plan includes all things. Ephesians 1:11 says, also we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. The translation here in that word is allotment. We have an allotment. So if I was giving out allotments, and if you came and I said, okay, in this section right here, we're going to give an allotment. And say I had 100 acres, and I'm going to give an allotment. Am I going to give that 100 acres to one person here? No, an allotment means you get a portion, you get a portion. Everyone gets an inheritance. It's an allotment. It's preserved for you. And so this is important that you understand that we have obtained an allotment or inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, I'm going to help somebody today really understand this. Right where you are right now, and I know sometimes it's hard to get our mind right. We think we really, really have done ourselves in sometimes, especially when we made a mistake. We really do. And I think it's bad teaching and bad preaching that's gotten a lot of people feeling more down on themselves than they really should. How many's made a mistake in here? All right, we know we made mistakes, right? Well, don't you know God knew you before you made the mistake? He knew you during the mistake and knew you after the mistake. And yet you're sitting in this building. Hallelujah. To me, that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, why would God put up with me? Why would he do that? Because God knew from the day that you were born that you was going to have them issues. So don't be shocked that God found out. Because we sometimes do things and we don't want God to know. Well, he already knew. Yet he loved me. Doesn't that impress you? To me, that's impressive. I thought I had to start going to church for God to like me. Oh, no. I don't know who told you that. Do you understand? See, he loved me before I got it figured out. And even when I think I got it figured out, I lack in so many areas because of who I am, my makeup. I ain't there yet. And he still loves me. He loves us and cares about us because, listen, also we have obtained an inheritance on allotment. You got a portion. You got a portion. Every one of you here, you have a portion in the kingdom of God. You obtained an allotment. The enemy wants to tell you you don't have anything. You have an allotment. Every single one of you, you own property on this earth. Even if you don't have a deed, you own it. You have an allotment. You've obtained an inheritance. Having been predestined according to his purpose. Now, everybody understands that term, right? Pre? Are we waiting on that? If it's pre-done, are we still waiting on it? No, we're not waiting on it. It's pre-done. Right? So, it was predestined according, not to my mind, not to me say, according to his purpose, who works how many things? All things after the counsel of his will. So I want you to be encouraged by this today, that I know the enemy, he'll come and say, you know, it don't pay for you to try. Why try to go to church? You can't behave anyway. You know you can't behave. You behave for a few days, and man, let something happen, boom, you misbehaving. And then you say, oh, there I go again. And then you live that type of life, and you feel like, well, you know, it just don't work for me. So the only thing you do is you set yourself up to occasionally come so you'll feel good about yourself. Let me ask you a question. You think that's behind that? God ain't behind that. That's an enemy. That's an enemy saying, that's what you need to do. As long as you feel good about yourself every now and then, that's what you need to do. Let me tell you, you can feel good about yourself every day. Let me tell you how you could do that. Because he's predestined you according to his own will, his counsel of his own will. God's figured it out for us already. And sometimes we say, well, I just don't like what I'm doing. I don't like what's going on. That's okay. That's okay, because things are about to change. And you got to understand that about who God is and what God has supplied for us. You might not be there yet, but you're headed that direction. You're moving in that direction to understand more about who God is. Coming to these understandings is what brings that relationship solid. And this is what God has for all of us here today. Listen, I want to encourage you today. You can serve God. You can love on the Lord. Listen, you think it takes this building? You think it takes me? Are you kidding? It doesn't take me for you to live for God. It doesn't take this building. This is just something we collectively come to do. Do you understand? If everybody else is failing and everybody else is following, when you understand who God is, you will stand upon what you know is truth. It'll establish you, to give you a firm foundation. Your feet won't be shaken. You'll stand firm on that, and that's important. Very important that we understand that and grab hold to those principles, okay? The next verse here, Hebrews 1:10, and I'm going to just lay out all these foundational, the ones that talk about how God did this before. Hebrews 1:10, you, Lord, in the beginning. When did he do it? in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of your hands. So everything we know about the universe and all the galaxies and the Milky Ways and all of that are the works of God's hands. God created that. And we sing songs and we mention God's name in it and we do whatever. And it's, we don't really realize the power and authority that's in what we're saying. We really don't. When we say things like this, I give God the glory. I give God the praise. There's a limit that's on that based on your understanding of who God is. Even though you're saying it, for five people can sing the same song, and there'll be the authority level that's released and the merging together or congealing together, as it were, that relationship is going to be based on your understanding of what the God that, what about that God? That you just said, to God be all the glory. Does it go far beyond our comprehension and understanding that we can't give a praise or an accolade to anyone more incredible than God? Is that moment a seized moment where you just say, oh God, it's absolutely amazing that I get to pray and praise you. This is incredible that I'm getting a chance to spend time with you. Remember, it's all based on your understanding of who God is. Look at this next verse here. The next one, it says in 1 Peter 1:20, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Think about that. He's appeared. It'd be absolutely crazy to think that we can ask God, well, okay, God, did you know Jesus? Well, absolutely, he knew everybody. Right? Did he know he's going to have a son? Would he know that he called him his only begotten? Did he know that he was going to be made a little lower than the angels, but then exalted above the angels? Did God know all that stuff? Absolutely, he knew it. Let me ask you this question. Did God know that Jesus would not fail? He knew it. He said it. He said, he will not fail. Let me ask you this. Did Satan know it? Satan didn't know it. He didn't know that Adam would fail, but he tricked him, threw it out there and said, whoa, this guy. Can you believe this? They did what I said. Then he said, I'm going to try it on Jesus. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You see what I'm saying? He could have failed, but God knew he wouldn't. He knew he wouldn't. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know this is going to be difficult for us, but I'm going to tell you this. God knows about us. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're going to decide tomorrow. Do you understand that? So when you give honor and praise to God and you're spending time with God, understand that about God. Understand that a God who understands everything about me, knows my decisions that I'm going to make before I make them. Before you got to add all of these things up in your mind and all that stuff works so you can generate a thought. It's absolutely incredible that God knows. Matthew 13:35, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parable and will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Who said that? Well, that was Jesus. If you were here on Thursday for our Bible study, if not, you need to listen to that. I've been talking about these parables, things that people say is not a parable. What did Jesus say he was going to do? I will open my mouth in parables and I will utter things hidden since when? The foundation of the world. Did he do that in these parables? Absolutely. What were they before he uttered them in parable? Hidden. They're hidden. If it's hidden, it means people know where they are. No, if it's hidden from you and you don't, and you say, well, it's that? I don't know. It's hidden. But he said, I'm an utterance, so things that are hidden will be understood. When were they hidden? Since the foundation of the world. How many see that? Let me tell you, it's not what God's doing today. It's what God's done. Does God have to do anything for everything in his word to come to pass? He doesn't do anything. He's already done those things. We got to live in what's been already supplied for us. Let me tell you, does God have to give salvation to you in order for you to be saved? Does he have to go, we wait, God is just waiting on you anytime you want to provide salvation? Salvation's been provided. What about healing in your body? It's provided. Do you understand that? Those things have already been provided. You ready for this? What about salvation for your family? I'm just waiting on God. I know God's going to move on them one day. You see, it's always putting it back on somehow God's not doing what he's supposed to do. Oh, I ain't going to get all upset about it. Whenever God's time is God's going to do it when God wants to do it. Let me tell you, God's already done it. He wants us to work the word. We're laborers with God. We're working the word. We're the ones that are working this stuff out. And so this is important for us to grab hold to. He said, I'll open my mouth in parable and will utter these things from they were from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished. From when? When was his works finished? From the foundation of the world. Incredible. Finished. Not still working on them. Finished. They're finished. So God planned it. It's already done. Every part of it. You and I. That's amazing. I just think about it. I think about, you know, here we are. We're around, but there were so many people before us. And yet God knew the plan had been finished. So it's amazing that we get a chance to live for the Lord. Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father. Where's the blessing come from? Now Jesus is saying this. The king's going to say to the one on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Inherit the kingdom. Prepare for you. So, how many know we're blessed of the Father? We're blessed. So, there's there's a man who has all this property, and he gives it to his servants to take care of it, and he goes, he travels away. And they start amongst themselves. Going back and forth on who's got what and who's right and who's wrong. And then he sends someone. He says, go check on them, see how they're doing with the property I left them. What's going on with it? And they go and they see these servants coming. And what do? They get them and they kill them. So they get no report. So what did he say? He says, oh, I'm going to send my son. I'll send my son to check on this property, make sure. So he sends the son. What do? They killed a son. Think about it. They killed a son. So, but God sent him to check on his stuff. How many of you know this is God's stuff? And they killed a son. But how many of you know that he's speaking in parable? He's trying to get them to understand. So then we have something that's hidden. Now it's revealed. Now here's the revelation part of it. But at the time he was saying what I'm saying, did they know what he was talking about? No, they was like, oh, what does that mean? It's a parable. But now we know it. Could we go back in history and we know that it's happened already? So what happened? God, Almighty God, Yahweh, it's all his creation. And he sent different people from time to time. And what happened? They slew the prophets and people, and then he sent his son. What did they do? Literally, this is literal now. Before we was in the parable. Literally, they slew his son. But he said, I'm going to raise him up. I'll raise him up. And so, does that end the story? No, no. The overall scope of the parable is God has a kingdom. Right? And we're going to be in that kingdom. So sometimes we lose sight. But when did God establish that kingdom? When did God say, that's my kingdom? When did that happen? He prepared it when? From the foundation of the world. And so understand that God's plan includes everything. And this is so important for us to grab hold to. Luke 11:50. So that the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation. So did he know the blood of the prophets would be shed before the prophets were ever born? According to this scripture, he does. Before the prophets were born, ever come into this world, he knew their blood would be shed, and he'd already said that the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation. All that's written in the plan of God. To me, when I read this stuff, it just excites me. I'll read a couple more, and then we're going to find a place to stop here. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me, this is Jesus speaking, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you love me before the foundation of the world. So he's saying where he got his glory from. Where did Jesus get his glory from? He got it from the Father. Remember, what is the first word in this verse? Father. Do you see that? Father. Is there a distinction there between the Father and the Son? Does everybody see this stuff? Because you'd be shocked how many people I see or talk to, they don't see a distinction between the Father and the Son. I think it's clear distinction. He says, Father. Was he talking to himself? No. He wasn't looking in the mirror saying, Father. You know, we'd lock him up for that kind of stuff. He's not speaking. It's a distinction here. Now, we need to see that distinction. So, I desire that they... That's the body. That's the believers. They also whom you have given me. Be with me where I am so that they may see my glory. See his glory. Well, Jesus is going to return in what kind of glory? Great glory. That they may be with me to see my glory. How many want to see his glory? So when he returns, we're going to be where he is to see his glory, that they may see my glory. Now watch this. He went through great lengths again. Which you have given me. He didn't say my glory that I got all by myself, that I obtained by myself. The glory which you have given me. So important. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. That's absolutely incredible. So I want to tell you this as we're going to end right here with this one. I want you to understand this. This week coming, I want you to take some time this week, and I want you to pray and begin to just thank God. A lot of times people don't pray because they don't know what to say. So what you do is just start thanking God. Say, God, I want to thank you for who you are. And who you are, I don't understand fully. I tell him that all the time, and I've been doing this a long time. I don't know everything there is to know about you, but I'm sure hungry to know more about you. And I want to spend more time with you, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you for loving me right where I am and caring about me and showing me that there's a better way. How many believe that there's a way that we can live better? How many know there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live? And sometimes we say, well, I just want God to come and do it for me. He already did it. The job that needs to be done on this planet is going to be up to you and I. It's about right and wrong decisions. It's about saying, I'm, you know, sometimes you got to get tired of being tired. And then you can get in that rest that God has for you. And it is a rest for 2015 that he has for all of us if we want to live in that. And from time to time, he reveals those things to us so we can see it and we can live that stuff out. But God wants you to live it out. He really does. So be encouraged. This week, take some time and just pray and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are. God, you're absolutely incredible. And there's so much more I want to know about you. And then the next day, do it again. Then the next day, do it again. Make it a point that you want, until the next service time comes, next Sunday when you come, that you have prayed every day. Monday, you sit, listen, how long it takes you to do what I just did? How many's got a minute? Let me ask you, how many's got 60 seconds to spare? Sometimes we're so busy, we got so much going on. 60 seconds, is that too much to ask? Can I tell you, why don't you thank God for 60 seconds? And most of the time when you start trying to do that, about third day, you forgot the time. You just keep on thanking him. But take 60 seconds and say, God, you're absolutely incredible. You're so amazing. There's so much to you that I don't know, but I desire to know. And I just thank you for loving me and caring about me and doing what you did for me. I thank you for Christ, that he died for me and you supplied that. Your glory is so amazing. I don't think I covered my 60 seconds yet. You see, there's a lot you can say in 60 seconds. And just say what comes to your mind, what you know, because whatever comes to your mind is what you know about God. And then it'll keep adding to it. Before you know it, you're going to see by that service, when you get up Sunday morning next week, when you get up to get ready to come to church, make sure you give your prayer to the Lord and your thanksgiving, and you'll find out, man, there's a lot of stuff that went on. And I want you to do this. I want you to go to at least one person when you get to church. At least one person, go to them and say, when I did it on Monday, I was struggling to fill my 60 seconds with words that would come out my own mind, out my own heart. By the time I got this morning, this is what the Lord revealed to me. This is what I want you to share with at least one person what it is by Sunday that you didn't get a hold to on that Monday. And let me tell you, it will happen to absolutely every one of you if you'll give God 60 seconds. I guarantee it. How many think that's too much to ask for the one who gives us his only son, who forgives us when we make mistakes, loves us in spite of our faults and failures? You think that's too much? I don't think it is. And by the way, we better get used to spending more time with God than that, because we're going to spend eternity with him. But we do. Our lives are so consumed with stuff that it's rare that we have any time to not be involved in something else that we can clearly solve. So I said 60 seconds. I don't think that's too much to ask right there. Who wants to do that? Well, I'm going to tell you. And just let him know. Say, just tell him. You ever said, God, I love you. Maybe that's all you'll say for 60 seconds. I love you, God. I love you. Time 59 seconds comes, eyes will be full of tears. And you're wondering, what is happening? That's because he just did this. When God steps one inch closer to you, there's something that moves you. You can't explain it. And that's what he wants to do for all of us. Let's stand. Well, I want to tell you, this is exciting time. It's exciting time to be in his presence. Exciting time to be able to live for the Lord. And I want to encourage you again, every one of you here, I want to tell you this. Listen to me careful. Every one of you is absolutely incredible. And you got to understand that about yourself. You're absolutely incredible, and you don't need someone else to say, he's right. I'm telling you what God says about you. When I'm up here speaking, I'm just telling you what God says about you. You got to believe that. You got to see that you're that incredible. How do you see that? Because of what he does. Why would God put you in his plan if he didn't think anything about you? Do you understand? You wouldn't have existed ever. So to be named in his plan, God's got a plan. He's got thoughts about you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Are they to hurt us? No. They're not to hurt us. What he wants to do? He wants to prosper us and give us an expected end. That's what he wants, and not to hurt us. He don't want, but he said that. Jeremiah said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And I thought about that so many times. God knows the plans he has for me. I'm trying to get through the day, and he knows the plans he's got for me. But I'm not just me. He also has the plans for every other person that's on this planet alive and every person that ever was on this planet. He had the plan. And he has the plan for the future. It's all done. And so I just want to honor him. This week, I'm telling you, if you'll do what I'm asking you to do, take 60 seconds on Monday. And you ought to try to do it in the morning time. You wait till the evening time, and if you're not having one of your better days, man, you might struggle to give him 30 seconds. Because you're fighting and you're them thoughts, and you're trying to pray, but boy, you're trying to pray and be mad at that person. It's hard. So start in the morning. You done got over it all. Now hopefully you got over it during the night. And start in the morning and say, God, you know what I do? This is my habit. This is my habit. This is what I do. And let me tell you, I had to teach myself this habit because I didn't have this habit. So what I had to do, this is my habit in the morning. I get up in the morning and my phone will ring. I'll get up and I sit on side the bed. And I have a little railing that my feet are on. I can't touch the floor. And I say, God, I just want to thank you for being good to me. And it's not an hour prayer that's going to get the job done all the time. Sometimes it's an acknowledgement of who he is. Do you understand? I'm not saying praying ain't going to get it. Let me tell you, I like to pray. Yes. And I pray all the time. But I'm telling you, you give God this week 60 seconds when you open your eyes before you get going. Listen, and if you have to, adjust your clock. Get up 1 minute earlier. I'm telling you, that's going to put a lot of stress on you, but that's all right. Get up 1 minute earlier, 60 seconds, and say, God, you're so good to me, and I thank you for being incredible. I love you, Lord. I honor you. I thank you. I'll just give you the glory and the praise and thanks. And day long, you're done. You keep and go about your day. The next Tuesday comes, first thing you do, give God glory. Wednesday, give him glory. And then you bring back Sunday, come back Sunday and tell somebody, you go to him and say, hey, I did what Pastor said. Let me tell you, this is what happened. This is what happened. This never happened to me before. Man, this is what happened. So you ought to get yourself braced. Get yourself ready. Because it works. I done seen it work too many times. So I want you to be thinking about that this week. Amen? I'm going to pray for you. Thank God for you.